If we do that, we can predict that that child will bring a good price out on, in the marketplace, in the schoolroom, and in service for God. It won't fail. That husband must be careful, though. Proverbs 11:29 says, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind." That's to the husband. A man must be careful that he don't disturb the status quo of what. Well, if you want your wife to stay home and build a strong foundation, teach your children, then don't disturb that home with some foolish innovation or decision that you make. He that troubleth his own house, God said, that family's going to inherit the wind. Well, the Lord used a lot of families to show us examples of what he wanted. Noah was the great example. Hebrews 11:7, it begins over the 6th chapter of Genesis, however. But just for this little capsule, Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That man made a decision for him and his family, and it lasted not only for the day of the flood, it lasted for eternity. He made a decision that lasted because he had the fear of God upon him. He said, "Hey, I'm not doing this just for me and the old lady. I'm doing this for my children and everybody in my family. I'm going to get them out of this mess." And through his decision, they were saved from all of that mess. All right, it must start like this, like Joshua. Praise God. Here was what the Lord told Joshua if he wanted his family to turn out right. In Joshua 1, verses 7 through 9, God said, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest." See, it don't start off with being a he-man and getting a house and getting a car and getting everything your family wants. That's not success. Here's success right here. "Be thou strong and very courageous to do what? That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Learn first and be strong to obey God." That's the strength of a real man. Then he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." You got to have it with you all the time to speak it, to reprove, to exhort, to rebuke. Everything you do, do it as the counsel of God directs us to do it. As the husband, as the head of the wife, and as the father and the head of that home. He said, "You meditate in my word day and night." Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then, if you'll do this, you'll make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have great success. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now listen to that decision a few years later in Joshua 24:14-15. He's out here, he knows his time is pretty close at hand to be, well, depart to be with his fathers. He's going to die, in other words. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord." He's challenging the congregation that he led over the Jordan, out of the wilderness, into the promised land. He's got them all bedded down now. They got homes, and they got cities, and they've got them walled, and they've got fig trees, and they've got flocks, and they've got grapevines, and they've got everything now. And he, boy, he's a mighty man, and used that sword to deliver Israel and to bring them into that promised land and give them all of these things that they themselves did not build nor provide. But he says now in warning, "Therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt." Now that on the other side of the flood meant the other side of Jordan. He wasn't talking about the other side of the flood of Noah like some people says. He's talking about another side of that river. See, when they came over there, Jordan was swelled. It flooded. And God just parted those waters and brought them over that flooded Jordan River. Now he said, "You remember your fathers in that wilderness, how they got them stinking idols out and brought them out of Egypt? said, don't you do like your fathers did back in the wilderness on the other side of Jordan, and when they were in Egypt, but you serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of these Amorites in whose land you dwell. But I want you to know this, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Boy, that decision was forceful, and it crystallized, and it was definite, and he was determined, and it worked. He was a real man, in other words. When a real man makes that decision, brother and sister, ladies and gentlemen, there's no other way, and it won't work no other way. I can prove that. Praise God. Use me for an example a little bit. I know it works because I've worked it. Praise God. Now I want you to turn to Psalm 78. This is a wonderful scripture to parents. Beginning in verse 4, God says, or David here speaking, said, we'll not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he'd done. We're not going to hide from our children all that God's done for us. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. See, it's the father and mother's place to have the word of God in the hearts, to live a disciplined life, to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to teach their children and grandchildren to teach their children and their grandchildren, to perpetuate the discipline and the word of God. He said that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You warn your children. Don't be like your old grandmama, somebody was back there that didn't serve God. Oh, praise God, I feel like shouting. I just thought a thought. It's in 2 Timothy 1. Lord, have mercy. Praise God. I tell you, it made me think about my old mother, a saint of God that left something for me beside money. She left me a legacy and a trail of faith that she blazed with a determination. Praise God that I wouldn't be what I am today. In 2 Timothy 1, beginning in verse 5, when I call to remember, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in thee also. Isn't that wonderful? Makes me want to shout and run around the block about twice. Praise God, if I could carry this microphone with me, I would. He said, I know your grandmother and your mama, and says, you got it just like they had it. Isn't that wonderful? There was three generations that it didn't fizzle out. I tell you, everything in America's about to fizzle out. There's a few bright lights left. Let me give you another one here. Praise God, I was thinking about something good. About this passing it on down. I'll get back to that in a moment here. Let me get on with what we're on for right now. The discipline of the children. We need praying parents. You can't bring parents up or children up. Parents can't bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord unless we are praying parents and we are men and women that are determined to know the word of God, to live it and teach it to our children. When our children get to be up two or three or 4 years old, or even before that, they should be dedicated. In Mark 10, 13 through 16, the Bible said they brought young children to Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that were brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer or allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now I want to bring that thought in right now. Here it fits real good. In 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 15, Paul went on to commend this young protege, his son in the faith, Timothy. He said, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's where it needs to begin. If you want that boy or girl to grow up to be a man or woman of God that don't get out and sow his wild oats, you better tell that son or daughter, son, if you go sow your wild oats, you're going to reap them. If you eat the devil's corn, he'll choke you to death on the cob, son. You better get that through him while he's little. He said, but Timothy, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Praise God, his grandmother and his mother were so careful that young man, when Paul spotted him,